I don't know about you, as we are sitting here today on the brink of 2020. Can y'all believe 2020 is right here? Amen. As we look back at 2019, we're still here, but we're on the brink. We're leaving 2019. My prayer is that God order our steps corporately, but that He order my steps individually, your steps individually. Because I don't know about you, but I have a tendency to try to write out my own steps. Anybody ever done that? And I don't know, whenever I try to write my own steps before I consult Him, it doesn't usually work out that great. But God says, listen, the steps of the righteous man are ordered by the Lord, and He delights in His way. God wants to guide and lead you. And it's a good thing, and we ought to let Him just do it, because He said, listen, that He's going to work everything out for our good. God already has your good in mind. And sometimes He has my good in mind, but sometimes what He's asking me to do doesn't look like it's going to be for my good. Can anybody testify to that? Sometimes what He asks me to do, usually what He asks me to do is sacrifice. It goes against my flesh, my natural desires. And what I usually do is lean on my own understanding. But God wants me to trust Him with all my heart. Don't lean on my understanding. And what He'll do, He'll give our path direction. Amen? Amen. This morning, we're continuing. Last week, we right before Christmas, we started just a little two-week mini-series called Present. Because we know at Christmas, I don't know about you, first of all, merry belated Christmas. I don't say belated. For us, it's Christmas all the time. Amen? Amen? But I pray that your Christmas celebration with your families went well. I don't know about you. Do you all have a good Christmas? Amen? And I praise God for all of those of you guys here at the church who went to go and serve the homeless on Christmas morning. Man, what a turnout. Praise God. Can we give all of you guys a hand who came out just to serve on Christmas morning? It was just such a blessing to see. I talked to Brother Wayne and Sister Dee Dee, and it was so amazing to see how many people from this church showed up to serve on Christmas morning. I mean, it was just an amazing thing to see, and this made us grateful. All of those people, there were just hundreds of people out there waiting, and just praise God for Widow's Pantry and their efforts to be able to have coats for the homeless. They had coats, they had food. And I know Sister Kina, she's Sister Kina Traps, who's the founder of Widow's Pantry, and she directs Widow's Pantry. And I saw her there out there, and she was looking a little defeated because there were so many people, and people were fighting and trying to get coats. And she was just kind of defeated because she said, it's not turning out like I had planned it. And I said, listen, Sister Kina, I just saw some folks give their life to Christ. And the Bible tells me that the angels rejoice over one. And I know you had planned to have enough coats for everybody, but God said, listen, I think you should get excited about what God got excited about. And you made the plans, but the fact of the matter is people are being blessed. And if one person gave their life to Christ, one person's life was changed as a result of what you did, that made everything worth it. If you ran out of coats, it made everything worth it. Worth it to keep the perspective. And that's what God wants us to do as we go into 2020, to love what He loves and hate what He hates. Get excited about what He's excited about. Amen? And we had a wonderful, wonderful time. But on Christmas morning, I don't know about you guys, on my house on Christmas morning, I have three small children. And those of you who are past child rearing ages, remember what Christmas was like for some of your kids. Or you may remember what it was like for you. But I know on Christmas morning, I don't know why I'm a glutton for punishment. You know, I stayed up and wrapped gifts. I remember my dad used to have to do this. He would put toys together and stuff. But I was up doing that at like 3 o'clock in the morning, Christmas morning, my wife and I think we just like doing it. It's just like we just kind of like doing it. It's painful, but I don't know why. If we didn't like it, we would change it, but we ain't changed it yet. But Christmas morning, this little boy comes in my room. About 6 o'clock, still dark. Daddy, what time does the sun come up? What time does the sun come up? He comes up, and he looks over the little banister to see if there were presents that weren't there the night before. And he comes in our room. What time does the sun come up? I said, boy, do you know that we went to bed at 4 o'clock? If you don't get out of here and go back to bed. He was excited about getting his presents. And so last week, we put a play on that word of present, because a lot of people get Christmas twisted to think about it's about presents. But it is about present. It's about God becoming present with us. That God became man. And last week, we talked about the gift Thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift, the gift, G, that God came to earth, the gift that he came to earth, I, so that he can identify with me in every way, the gift that he, F, forgives me of all of my sins, and the gift, T, that I can trust that he'll never leave me or forsake me. That's the gift. If I never got anything under the tree, if I never got a gift under the tree, I'm thankful for the gift that was born that came and hung on the tree so that I can have eternal life. And we talk about the fact that because of that, because God became man, he became man to be present with us. The fact of the matter is he is still present with us. That Matthew, the book of Matthew, starts with the presence of God, Jesus coming to earth, but it ends with the presence of God. And Jesus, when he left, he said, yes, and lo, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. Here to encourage you today that guess what? He's always present. God is present with you right now. And the fact that he's present with you ought to encourage you, that he said he'll never leave you or forsake you, means that that omnipotent God, the one who has all power, is there with you, and he's got plans for your life. But as we look on 2019 in the past, and as we head into 2020 this morning, we're going to talk about present in a different way. We're going to talk about, because God is present with us, God wants us also to live in the what? Present. So often we can get distracted by looking in our past or focusing so much on our future that we miss what God is doing right here in the present. And this morning, what we're going to just simply, I got one point to leave you guys. If you don't remember anything else today, what I want you to remember is this: maximize the moment. As we look into 2020, what God is calling us to do is maximize the moment. Amen? Jeremiah, could you come help me? I need Jeremiah to help me. Jeremiah, I want you to come down here for me. I want to just give you an illustration as we go into 2020 of something that happens to some of us. You know, as we go, Jeremiah, I want you to look down here, back up, and I want you to see where my wife is right down there. Mm-hmm. I want you to look. That's 2020. That chair right there, that's 2020. I want you to get to 2020, okay? I want you to run and walk as fast as you can to get to 2020. Now, I want you to look behind you. That's 2019 right there, okay? 2020 is in front of you. I want you to run as fast as you can to 2020 when I say go. You ready? All right. On your marks, get set. Hold on 1 second. Before you go, I want you to turn around. I need you to turn around, and I want you to look right here. I want you to run as fast as you can to 2020, but you got to look at 2019. You ready? You're going to go as fast as you can to 2020, but I want you to look at 2019. You ready? When I say go, I want you to go. On your marks, get set, go. Don't turn around. You got to keep going as fast as you can now. Uh-oh. What happened to Jeremiah? He got tripped up, didn't he? And I use that. Can you give him a hand? I use that illustration because as we go into 2020, you know what? Some of us are so stuck on 2019 that you're going to get tripped up as you head into 2020. And this morning, what God is calling us to do, he wants us to maximize the moment. That's why we talk about being present right now. Today is a gift. That's what somebody said. Y'all listen to Willie Moe Jr. all the time. He said, today is a gift. That's why we call it the what? Present. And this morning, I got three things that I want to leave you that I want for as you go into 2020 and as we leave 2019, three things that I want you not to do. Number one, don't let your past paralyze you. Don't let your past paralyze you. Do you know Jeremiah was headed into 2020, but he let his past paralyze you? I want you, if you have your Bible, we're going to go to Isaiah. Our text for this morning is the book of Isaiah, chapter 43. Isaiah chapter 43, verses 18 through 21. Isaiah 43:18 through 21. If you have your Bible, turn there. If not, it should be on the screen. It says, forget the former things. Don't dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. The wild animals honor me, the jackals and the owls. because I provide water in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I formed for myself, that they may proclaim my praise. Look at verse 18 and verse 19. It says, forget the former things. Don't dwell on the past. Forget the former things. Don't dwell on the past. I don't know about you, but I made some mistakes in 2019. And what can happen is, a lot of times what we do is we go on into 2020. A lot of us make New Year's resolutions. As we sat on the brink of 2018, some of us wrote down some things that we wanted to accomplish in 2019. Some things, some habits that we were going to discontinue in 2019. Some goals that we were going to reach in 2019 that we didn't reach in 2018. And as you're here today on December 29th, and you look back, you haven't reached those goals. You still got those habits. You haven't reached that weight. None of that has happened. And what can happen is, if you focus so much on what did not happen in 2019, it can paralyze you as you move into 2020. What you got to do is not let your past paralyze you. In the book of Isaiah right here, he says, forget the former things. Yet, listen, I'm not trying to tell you to just totally ignore your past, because there's some benefits to your past, and we're going to talk about that. But if you dwell on your past, what can happen as you move into the future, it could trip you up like it tripped up Jeremiah. Any of you ever tried to drive while you're looking at your going forward, looking in your rearview mirror? I dare you to go down 210 while you're looking in your rearview mirror the whole time. You're going what? Crash. And what God will call it, what happens to us a lot of times when we think about our mistakes, it scares us and we get bound by fear and keep from moving on into the present. There's three things that you ought to do. It's that your past can have benefits. What God wants you to do with your past, how do you handle your past? How do you handle what happened in 2019? This is how you handle it. Number one, you lift up a praise for what God did in 2019. What you got to do, the first thing you do is lift up a praise for what God did in 2019. I want you to look at this text. The Bible says, listen, when you lift up a praise, he says in Psalm 77, 11 through 14, I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. I will consider all your works and meditate on all your mighty deeds. Your ways, God, are holy. What God is as great as our God? What are the God? What? Who? You are the God who performs miracles. You display your power among the people. What does he say? I'm going to remember what you did in 2019, Lord. And then he said, I'm going to remember your miracles, and I'll consider your works, and I'm going to give you praise. What you should do as we are sitting, what we're going to do on Tuesday night, we're going to come here and we're going to sing some praise to God for what he did in 2019. And every day, what you ought to do, God, what I want to do is lift up a praise. What you should do with your past is praise God for the good and for the bad. The Bible says in Luke chapter 9 that no man, once he puts his hand to the plow, if he's looking back, you ain't fit to work in the kingdom. The past has some benefits, but what you got to do is, first of all, thank God for the trials and thank God for the triumphs of 2019. That's what you ought to do. Number one, that you ought to lift up a praise. The second thing that you ought to do with your past is not just lift up a praise, but you also learn from your past. How many know that you can learn lessons from what happened in 2019? When I think of the Bible, I think of Peter, and you think the scripture is filled with people who learn from their past. Think about Peter. Peter had an opportunity to stand up for Jesus, and he denied Jesus what? Three times. He denied him three times. And when Jesus came back from the dead, he said, Peter, do you love me? And he said, Lord, you know I love you. Peter, did you love me? Lord, you know I love you. He asked him three times. He said, Lord, you know that I love you. And the same Peter that denied Jesus three times, when you go and find him in Acts chapter 4, he's proclaiming boldly the gospel. The same Peter that denied Jesus three times, they'll tell us that Peter thought he was unworthy to be crucified right side up like the Savior. They crucified him upside down. Listen, he learned from his past. He learned from the mistakes. Peter could have got wallowed in his past and said, Lord, I'll never be good enough to do what you've called me to do. But God used Peter as a mighty man for his glory. What you can do, whatever happened to you in 2019, whatever mistakes that happened, what God is calling you to do, lift up a praise and thank him for the good and the bad, but also learn a lesson. You know, my son's basketball team, after they have a game, whether they win or lose, they say every win is a blessing, every loss is a lesson. Through it all, thank God. Through it all, thank God. Every loss is a lesson. That's what God would have you to do. What have you learned? See, it'll be a tragedy if I go into 2020 from 2019 and I made some mistakes, but then in 2020 I keep repeating the same thing. What do they say? A person who does the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result, that's the definition of what? Insanity. What I do need to do as I go into 2020 is take a lesson from Scripture. Learn from it. That's what God would have me to do. How do I have my past? You got to lift them up in praise. You got to learn from it. And the third thing that you need to do with your past is, guess what? Let it go. You got to let it go. Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14 from New Living Translation says, "No, dear brothers and sisters, I've not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing. Forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us." What you got to do with your past, you lift up a praise, you learn the lesson, and then you let it go. And see, in the past, you got to let go some of your victories from 2019. Because do you know that your victories can even paralyze you? You can be so stuck on what happened good in 2019 that you're basking in the glory of what happened in 2019 that you're missing what God wants to do with you today. Don't let your triumphs and don't let your trials or your failures keep you stuck. You know, as I think about the scripture, I think of the story of Lot's wife. And when God was getting ready to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, and he was destroying Sodom and Gomorrah, and he told them, "Listen, y'all get out of there and don't turn back." And they started running out of there. And Lot's wife just was thinking about how good Sodom was. And when that fire got going and the brimstone got falling, she looked back. And when she looked back, what happened to her? The Bible says she turned to a pillar of salt. She got stuck. She got paralyzed. Why? Because she looked back on what was instead of moving to what God had for her. As you move into 2019, God is calling you, listen, do not be paralyzed by what happened in your past. When you sit and sulk, I think about the prodigal son, how he made the mistake, how he left his father's home, and he was sitting there in that pig pen. And if he had just continued to wallow in that pig pen, he would have stayed there. But he had to come to himself and go back to his father's house. Today, God is calling you. Don't sulk in what happened in 2019, but to come up from there and move on to what God has for you in 2020. Amen? What God will have you to do, maximize the moment. In order for you to maximize the moment, what you cannot do, don't let the past paralyze you. But the second thing that you cannot do is do not let the future frustrate you. Do not let the future frustrate you. Look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 34. Matthew 6, 34 says, "Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Do you know, as we go into the next year, sometimes you can get frustrated about the future. When you set goals and they say, "Man, I'm so far from where I want to get to," the future can worry you. In the Bible, here in Matthew chapter 6, he talks about first the verse before that. Instead of worrying about your future, he says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow's got its own worries for itself. You can't do anything about tomorrow. Guess what? Tomorrow, God is in control of that, right? The key is you got to know who holds the future. But God, don't allow the future to frustrate you. What happens is, and as I was thinking about this, when we think about our future, sometimes goals are good. God wants you to set goals. He wants you to make plans, and those are all good. But this is what happens. And a lot of times we'll say, focus on your goals. And you know, and the more I was thinking about that and preparing, focus on your goals. And that sounds good, and in a sense that is true. But you know, when you focus on your goals, sometimes you can get frustrated because when I'm looking at my goal, I'm so far from my goal, I can get down like, man, when am I ever going to get there? But what God will have you not to necessarily focus on your goals. We said our message is called being present, maximize the moment. See, there are small steps in the present that allow me to get to my future goal. One of my mentors always says, listen, don't rush the process, trust the process. So what you got to do is not necessarily focus on your goal, but you got to focus on the steps in the moment that allow you to get to where God would have you to be. That's why he says right here in Philippians chapter 3, he says, forgetting what's behind and looking forward to what's in front of me. What's in front of me right now? I'm pressing toward the goal, but the way I get to the goal is I focus on what's in front of me. I got to focus on the steps that God has got for me today. And if you keep focusing so far ahead, then guess what? You'll get frustrated. God said, listen, focus on the steps that you need to take on a daily basis to get to the goal. That's one of the things, you know, we talk about, and that's in our spiritual walk. Many of us want to get to the point, listen, I'd love to be more spiritual person. I'd love to have a closer walk with God. And there's people that you look at and admire that have a close walk with God. I mean, I would love to have that kind of faith. I always look at Pastor Joseph Jetter, who's gone home to be with the Lord, and this the amount of faith he has in the Lord. Give me that kind of faith. And God said, the way you get that faith is just a closer walk with thee. Every single day. See, I can't get to the faith of Joseph Jetta. I can't get to the faith of Abraham until I get to the faith to get up every morning and get in his word. See, because the future can frustrate me. I can look, I want to be there. But God said, listen, you got to be faithful right where I have you. If you're faithful over a few things, I'll make you what? Ruler over many. See, do not focus so much on the future that it gets you frustrated. Focus on what God has called you to do. But your future is very important. I'm not saying you don't have plans. What you got to do? I gave you three things that you need to do with your past. I want to give you three things to do with your future. Number one, what you need to do with your future is what? Pray about it. You need to pray about it. Look at the scriptures right here. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 3. I love this verse. It says, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plans. So don't plan. Commit to the Lord first. Get on your face and God, show me what 2020 should look like for me. God, show me the direction that you would have me to take. He said, commit your ways to the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Proverbs chapter 3, with all your heart, don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will give your path direction. The first thing that you need to do about your future today, as 2020, as we're sitting on the brink, have you prayed and asked God what 2020 should look like? See, that's what you got to do. You got to commit your ways to the Lord. And then what he's going to do, he's going to establish your plans. So notice I didn't say plan first. So what you got to do, you got to pray about the future. The second thing you got to do, you do have to what? Plan for it. He said, you commit your ways to the Lord so he can establish your plan. There is a place for planning. Amen. I'm not saying, Lord, well, we're just going to commit it to you and we just go about it willy-nilly. Proverbs chapter 21 says, the plans of the diligent lead to profit as surely as haste leads to poverty. God calls you to plan. You got to make a plan for your life. But your plan does not come before you pray. The problem with us sometimes is we plan and then we ask God, then we pray to ask God to bless my plan. We got it backwards. We're doing the praying and we're doing the planning, but God said, you got to flip-flop it. I want you to pray. God, give me your direction. What should we be? What should we do? What should be the goals for my family? What should be the goals for our church? What should be the mission for our church? But not say, oh, this is a great idea. This looks good. I mean, and it might sound good. And you sometimes you might slip up and be right. But God said, no, you seek me first. That's what he said. It's all Matthew 6. Seek him first, his kingdom, his righteousness, and all these things. He's going to establish your plan. So you pray, and then you what? Plan. Because now, he said, the Bible said, delight yourself in him. right? And he will give you the desires of your heart. See, then you'll know how to plan, because as you're delighting in him, as you seek in him, then what he's going to do, he's going to transform your heart to be in tune with his heart, so then your plans will reflect his glory, not yours. See, if I start planning before he got my heart, it's going to reflect my kingdom and not his. Because there's some things that I may want in myself that God said, these things got to be fine-tuned to become in line with my will. With your future. One thing you got to do about your future is you pray about it. Number two, you got to plan for it. But number three, what do you have to do? Put it in God's hands. You pray about it. You plan for it. Then you put it in God's hands. Jeremiah 29:11. I love this verse. It says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future." See, once I've prayed about it and I put the plans and committed the plans to the Lord, now what I do, I take my hands off and say, "God, I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to give it to you. You don't have to manipulate it. I'm going to give it to you." Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16, verse 9 says, "In their hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps." So what you got to say, "God, direct me." Then you put the plan together, and then you give God license. "Lord, if this is not in line with you, you can change the plan. You can do whatever you plan on doing." Just like I told Sister Kina on Saturday, she had a plan, but God had a different direction. So, "God, I'm giving you a license, and I'm giving you freedom. Say, Lord, it is your will, not my will, but yours. I give you the plan, and then I put it in your hands. Take my hands off of it." That's what God wants to do with your future. Amen. Pray about 2020 as you come into it. As you pray and bathe bathe your year in prayer, "Lord, order my steps." Then ask God to direct your plans. And as you put those plans, begin to try to put those plans in place, say, "God, now I leave it in your hands. Here are the plans that are written down, but it's you who direct the steps. Put us where you would have us to be." And when you do that, watch God do an amazing thing, because now he knows he has your heart. Maximize the moment. In order for you to maximize the moment, the first thing that you got to do is do not let your past paralyze you. Don't allow your future to frustrate you. And the next thing, final thing, is don't allow the present to pass you. Don't allow the present to pass you. Jeremiah, could you come back up here one more time? Jeremiah, you're going to go. I want you to run to 2020 again. Amen. Come on down here. Jeremiah's going to run to 2020. All right. But you're going to look back at 2019. You already know the drill. All right. Don't cheat. Since you know what's going on, don't cheat. All right. I want you to look down. I want you to look at 2019 as you run to 2020. You ready? On your marks. Get set. Go. All right. Keep on going. Keep on. See what happened to Jeremiah. He missed the blessing in the present, didn't he? He was so busy looking at his past that there was a blessing right there for him in the present. And what God is calling you to do, the third thing he wants you to do, is don't allow your present to pass you by. There are things that God wants to bless you with, but if you're so consumed with the past, if you're so frustrated with what the future is going to look like, God said, "I am doing." What did he say in the passage in Isaiah 43? He said, "I am doing a new thing. I'm doing a new thing. It springs forth." But you are so focused on the other stuff that you're missing what I'm doing. God wants you not to miss what he's doing. Look, there's some scriptures I want us to turn to as we talk about not letting the present pass us. Ephesians chapter 5. Somebody get my money, please. Amen. Amen. I love all y'all. And I trust all y'all. But I just, listen, I don't want to tempt nobody. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Marvin. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 and 16 says, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil." Then look at verse 17. It says, verse 17 to 20 says, therefore, don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Don't get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music to your, and music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father in everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you go back to verse 15 and 16, he says, listen, be wise, make the most of every opportunity. That means today. Do not let the present pass you. Wisdom says, make the most of today. Why? Because the days are evil. And when you let it pass, what does that look like? I believe verse 17, if you go down to verse 17 through 20, it tells you what it looks like. He says, don't get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. As I looked at that passage, I saw three things. Number one, what does it mean to maximize the moment in the present? It's you got to walk in the Spirit. He said, don't be drunk on wine. That scripture has less to do with being drunk than it does with being filled with the Spirit. He's trying to give you a comparison. Anybody who in here who's ever been drunk knows what it's like to be drunk, because the next day you don't remember necessarily all the stuff that you did. Amen. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Don't have to raise your hand. Just get to shake your head, because there's, you know, all of us ain't been saved all of our lives. Amen. So you knew what it was like when you went out that night, and it's like, whoa, you woke up that next morning with a headache. Because listen, that what happened is, my son was asking me about alcohol. Dad, I said, because what it does, it alters your mental status. And sometimes it can take control of you. Sometimes when you drink too much alcohol, consume with too much alcohol, it will take control of you. This is a funny story, man. It had nothing to do necessarily with this, but it's hilarious. I thought about this. Had a patient of mine come into me, and they had an issue with alcohol, and they were having some symptoms. There's something called alcoholic neuropathy. What alcohol will do is numb your senses, but it can permanently numb your senses. If you drink too much alcohol, it'll deaden your nerves, so your feet will go numb. You don't have feeling in your feet and your hands. A lot of people don't know that. Doc, why are my hands numb? My feet numb. And I said, do you drink? They said, yeah. Well, how much you drink? Every day. Well, how much? I just drink wine, beer every day, 3-4 beers every day, 4 glasses of wine every day. And I said, well, you're going to have to stop drinking. And I told this one person that I asked him, do you drink alcohol? No, I don't drink alcohol. I drink wine. Well, how often do you drink wine? Every day. And I said, what you're going to have to do, you're going to have to stop the alcohol. But I said, I don't drink alcohol. I don't drink liquor. I drink wine. It's all alcohol, baby. It will alter your mental status. It will control you. And you're telling me you drink it every day, multiple times a day, throughout the day. I don't care if it's just wine cooler. You drink that all day long, you're going to have a problem. It will control you. And the scripture says, don't be drunk with wine, which leads to debauchery. Meaning, that when you're drunk with wine, it controls you and it makes you do crazy things. But instead, in comparison, just like you used to be controlled by the alcohol, let the Spirit get into you so much that it controls everything that you do. How do you maximize the moment? You got to be filled with the Spirit in the present. Make the most of every opportunity. Don't be drunk on wine, but let the Spirit control you. Being filled with the Spirit is not having more of the Holy Spirit. It's having this Holy Spirit having more of you. You're not going to get more holy. If you are a follower of Christ and accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, He's giving you, when I said yesterday, last week about Him being present, He is all present in you right now. He's given you all of His presence, but what He wants all of you. Being filled with the Spirit has everything to do with how much control the Spirit of God has over my life. And how do you not pass the present? How do you maximize the moment? How do you make the most of every opportunity? He says, allow the Spirit of God to control you. And what does it look like when the Spirit of God controls you? Look what it says. When the Spirit of God controls you, it says, number one, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. When you're maximizing the moment, living in the present, and the Spirit controls you, you will be encouraging to other people. You will be encouraging to other people. It says speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. The question is, how do you maximize the moment? How do you make the most of the present? God is calling you to allow His Spirit to control you, and your life ought to bless others by your speech. You ought to be an encouragement to people around you. And not only do you encourage others, but then it says, sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. You ought to encourage others, but next thing it says, you ought to exalt the King. A person who's living and maximizing the moment is a person who is a worshiper. You ought to be praising God for what He's done. He said, make sing and make music to your heart, in your heart from the Lord. You encourage others. You exalt the King. And then finally, always giving thanks to God, you ought to express gratitude. You ought to express gratitude. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Don't let the present pass you by. And how do you not let the present pass you by? Make sure that you've been walking filled with the Spirit of God. And how do you do that? What do you got to do? Number one, is say, Lord, I want you to fill me with your Spirit. And that ain't him just, that ain't, you know, some people, they'll tell you, talk about a second blessing. There are people who believe that you come to Christ and then you get the Holy Ghost. No, when you come to Christ, you get all of Him. But what you have to do now, there's somebody here today, in order for you to maximize the moment and for you not to pass what God is doing in the present, some of you need to ask God, I want you to take control, complete control of my life. Ask Him, Lord, I'll give you complete control of my life. And then what you need to begin to do is spend time with Him in His Word. Spend time with Him in His Word. Spend time in worship and asking what He does, because He is what we said last week in John 1. We talk about present. He in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and the Word became flesh. So He is the living Word. So if I want to walk in the Spirit of God, I got to be filled with the Word of God. When I do that, that's how I maximize the moments. Ask Him to fill me with His presence and spend time with Him in His Word. Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 and 13 says, see to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God, but encourage one another daily as long as it is called today, so that none of you can be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Listen, as long as it is called, what? Today. There's so many of us that are allowing today to pass us. What God is calling for you and I to do as we look on the brink of 2020, Lord knows I want to see God do some great things in 2020. But you know how it's going to be a great 2020? If I have a good December 29th, 2019, and then focus on a good December 30th, 2019, and December 31st, moment by moment, one day at a time. Who's that song? One day at a time. Sweet Jesus, that's all I'm asking from you. That's it. One moment by moment. God is calling you today to maximize the moment. Don't wallow in your past. Don't be paralyzed by the past. What happened yesterday? Your failures of yesterday. Even your triumphs of yesterday. Don't be frustrated by the prospects of what's happening tomorrow. Tomorrow said, listen, don't worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow, listen, will take care of itself. And today has its own worries. What God wants you to do is maximize the moment. Maximize what God has given you. And if you're a follower of Christ, how do you do that? Walk in spirit, filled with the Spirit. Have Him control your life. And today, if you've never come to know Christ as your Lord and Savior, you know how you maximize the moment? This last scripture I want you to look at, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 says, as God's partners, we beg you not to accept this marvelous gift of God's kindness and then ignore it. For God says, at just the right time, I heard you. On the day of salvation, I help you. Indeed, the right time is now. Today is the day of salvation. See, you ought not let the present pass you. And if you're here today and you've never come to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, today God has you right here in the present, right here, because he wants to let you know that he loves you. And he wants you to know that today, right now, is the right time. Today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow is not promised to any of us. Don't let this present moment pass you by. Today, if you're under the sound of my voice and you hear me and you've never come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, let me tell you what that means. If you weren't here with us last week, I want to let you know today that God loves you. The God of the universe, he created. The Bible says he spoke everything into existence. But when he came to you, he said he formed you out of the dust of the ground. He put his hands on us, shaped us and molded us in his image. And then the Bible says that he breathed into us the breath of life. And man became a living soul. Why? Because you are the apple of his eye. He loves you and he wants a relationship with you. And he created you. Do you know he created you and designed you to live with him for eternity? He wants you to live with him forever. But the problem is, none of us can live with God forever like he wanted, because we're not perfect and he is. Sin has separated us from God. Sin just means not to be perfect. And the Bible says all of us have sinned. All of us are imperfect and fallen short of God's glory. So the problem today is that you and I are imperfect and God is perfect, but he wants a relationship with you and he cannot allow you into his presence with sin. So he had to do something to fix your mess. And what God did, that's what we talked about last week. God became present with us. Emmanuel. God said, I will become man so that I can live like they live and identify with their suffering and be a sacrifice to pay for your sins and mine. The only way for you to live with God, the only way for you to have eternal life and to live as God created and designed you, is for you to be perfect. And you cannot be perfect in and of yourself. So what God had to do, he had to give you his perfection. The God of the universe said, I will give you my righteousness. God, the Bible said, God made the one who had not sinned to be made sin for you, so that you might become the righteousness. What this means is that God said, listen, he took upon the whole sin of the world. He took all of your mess, all of my imperfection upon himself, and he allowed us to kill him. Jesus Christ came to this earth and he died on a cruel cross, and his blood was shed because God established that nobody's sins can be forgiven without blood being shed. So Jesus came and he shed his blood. And he died on the cross and he was buried and he rose again to make you right with God. And all he says is that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, he'll save you, which means he'll give you eternal life and you'll never perish. And the scripture that we have up here today, it says, indeed, the right time is now. Today is the day salvation. Don't let the present pass you by. If you've never made the decision to relinquish your life and give God all of your imperfection and take the gift of his righteousness and accept the fact that his son died for you on the cross, if you've never ever made that decision, today is the day of salvation. Now is the appointed time. The present will pass you. We don't know about tomorrow. We don't know what tomorrow will bring. The scripture talks about the man who made plans for tomorrow without consulting God, and he never saw the next day. Now is your appointed time. Will you receive the Savior today? Maximize the moment. If you're a follower of Christ, God wants you to maximize the moment. How do you do that? Seek first his kingdom today and his righteousness. All these things he'll add. If you've never come to know Christ as your Lord and Savior, how do you maximize the moment to keep this past from following you by? you come to receive his gift. What I want us to do right now is if we can all stand to our feet. We're getting ready to close. We're on the brink of a new year. And I'm excited. I'm looking forward to God doing some great things. But a great year is marked by some great days. A year that honors God is marked by days that honor God and weeks that honor God, moments by moment, living to bring God glory. If we could all bow our heads and close our eyes in this moment, I want to give someone an opportunity in the present to come to know God as their Lord and Savior. Know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Don't let the present pass you today. Now is the right time. Today is the day of salvation. If you'd like today to receive this gift of salvation through Jesus Christ, it's really simple. All you got to do first is admit that you're not perfect. Believe that God sent his perfect son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for you, that he paid for your sins. Believe that he was buried, that he rose again. And then finally, make the choice to invite him into your life and forgive you of all the sin you've ever done. Make you who he wants you to be. If you'd like to make that decision, I'm going to pray a prayer right here really quick. I'm going to pray a prayer. And if this prayer expresses the desire of your heart, I want you to repeat it after me. If that's what you want to experience his salvation today. Today, if you don't want to let this moment pass, I want you to repeat this prayer after me, silently, right where you are. Just say, "Dear God, thank you for loving me. I believe that you sent your son Jesus Christ to die on the cross for me. I believe that he was buried and that he rose again just for me. And today, I invite you to come into my life, to forgive me of all of my sins, and make me who you want me to be. Thank you, Lord, for saving me." With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here, if you're watching online, if that prayer expressed the desire of your heart right where you are, could you slip up your hand right where you are? If that prayer expressed the desire of your heart, if you could slip up your hand right where you are, show you how you could start a phenomenal relationship with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Is there one who will come to the Savior today? Don't let the moment pass you by. Is there one? Is there one who'll come to the Savior today?
There's no way I will follow you forward.
Don't worry who's looking around. It's just you and God. You and God.
You make all things new.
Second one is, if you're here, you said, "Pastor, when I'm a follower of Christ, but I just want God to help me not get paralyzed by my past, frustrated by my future, but ask him to help me maximize the moment." If you're here today, you say, "I want to walk in the Spirit in 2020. I want to maximize the moment that God has given me and live for him." If that's you, won't you raise your hand? I see those hands. Praise God. I see those hands. Lord, help me to maximize the moment. Help me to walk in the fullness of your Spirit. I see those hands as I go into this year. Help me to be one that encourages others, to exalt your name, and expresses thanksgiving for what you've done in my life. I see those hands. Dear God, Heavenly Father, we thank you all around the room today, God. Those saying, "Lord, help us to walk in the power and the fullness of your Holy Spirit." Lord God, speaking to others in psalms, hymns, and songs in the Spirit, encouraging others, lifting your name, Lord, expressing gratitude to you. Lord, help us to be people that seek first your kingdom and not our kingdom. Help us to be people, Lord God, to go to you, Lord God, to establish our plans, not make plans and ask you to bless them. God, order our steps as we head into this year, into 2020. We look forward to you doing great and mighty things that our minds could have never, ever conceived. We love you. We thank you. We praise you. God, I pray if there's one who's never come to know you today, God, continue. I pray that a seed was planted, that you will continue to water that seed in their life. In Jesus' name, amen.